everyone, and welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm Cinnamon Schultz, and I'll be your host today for another episode of the finest radio drama performed by your favorite Kansas City actors. This week, we have episode 3 of our original series, Kansas City 1924, written by local playwright Forrest Attaway. Our sponsor for Kansas City 1924 is Tom's Town Distilling Company, downtown Kansas City's first legal distillery since Prohibition, bringing back the roaring 20s in every bottle when the king of Kansas City was boss, Tom Pendergast. He ruled over a city of gamblers, speakeasies, and rule breakers. The Paris of the Plains never missed a drop of gin, bourbon, or vodka. And they still don't. Tom's Town spirits don't just break the rules, they change the game. You can find their vodka, gin, and bourbon at your local liquor store. Tom's Town, the people are thirsty. And I hope you people are thirsty for another taste of Kansas City 1924. Here's the third episode. It's called A Warm Wind.
Tensions running high between the mafia bootlegging operations and the livestock exchange, Joey Giovanni has a plan to dig into the pockets of Ma Pritchett and the ranchers. Colonel Wesley has returned to Texas to gather men and resources for the coming fight. But he leaves a sharp-shooting Cajun woman by the name of Shirley Cox to protect Ma Pritchett and her daughter Amy. And Fitzy is burdened with the knowledge that his son George has been having relations with a married white woman who is now expecting a child. This is Kansas City, 1924.
I care. Of course I care.
You're gonna get this whole family murdered, boy.
Not if I'm gone, Daddy.
Especially if you're gone, son.
I care about her, Pop.
You care about yourself, Brother Rat.
She loves me, Daddy.
She loves the idea of you, son, and nothing else.
Why? You don't know her?
There ain't much I gotta know about a woman who's willing to jeopardize the life of my son, my daughter, myself.
Daddy, she's different.
No, she's not.
I have a plan. I have money. We can get out of town. We can start something new, Pop.
You'll be killed before you even notice one good day, boy.
I'm willing to take that chance.
Well, I'm not.
Daddy, please.
I'm gonna take care of this. Do you hear me, son? I'll bury this so far in the dirt you won't have to give that child a name. Understand?
No, sir.
You got no say in this, George.
The hell I don't.
You have a life in front of you, boy, and this is not it.
But it could be, Pop.
No. I've decided.
Decided what?
I know someone who could help, but it's gonna take money. Now, how much have you got?
I got $94, but I wanna know what you're planning.
I plan on saving your life, and that's all you need to know. Now, give me that money.
Rose is getting it tonight.
That's another thing. How dare you bring your little sister into all of this?
What's the plan, Daddy?
We're taking a trip down to the Bend.
The Bend? Daddy, no.
They can help down there. They've helped us before.
How many times have you told me not to deal with those people?
I know what I'm doing, and you've left me no other choice.
You always taught us to think things through, Daddy. What you're suggesting is rash.
I don't see any other option. When your sister gets back, we're all going.
You said I should leave Rose out of this.
She's gonna wanna see Rose, I can guarantee it. But I want you to load the truck like we're going on a fishing trip so nobody is the wiser.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either, son. But I am not losing you. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Fortunes are made and destroyed in the time it takes to play a familiar song in this city. You may be high on the hog one weekend, and by the next, you're sipping soup in Brush Creek. But there is work here in Kansas City, and no one works harder than Big Mike, except for maybe Alice. Between the two of them, they keep the Royale skipping and hopping. You would be surprised who comes through these doors. Politicians and future presidents, Hall of Fame ballers, as well as the infamous criminal from time to time. Today they meet George Kelly, who would go on to make the Thompson gun a household name.
Mike.
I'm working, Alice.
I'm thinking of bringing a comedy duo in next week.
People like to laugh.
Who sounds funnier to you? The Sawmill Brothers or Lefty and Crab?
Sawmill Brothers is not funny.
The name's not funny enough for you?
No. I seen them down at the Hey Hey, and they are not funny. One of them plays a clarinet, and the other one sings made-up songs.
You know all songs are made up, right?
Yeah, but these songs ain't any good.
Well, all right. Lefty and Crab it is.
Who's this coming in?
Well, hello there. The name is George Kelly. I'm looking for a Mr. Joseph Giovanni. Is he around?
It's Giovanni. Oh. And no, I'm afraid he's out.
Well, I'll be in town for a few sunsets, so when might I pop in?
Alice?
What's that you're selling, Mr. Kelly?
What's in the jars?
Only the finest hooch this side of the Miss ISSIPPI.
Is that so?
Prettier than Venus and whiter than God's teeth. Go on, have a rub at it.
Where are you from, Kelly?
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you. I keep shopping in Memphis.
Well, you're a long way from Memphis.
I got warehouses in Joplin and delivering to Tulsa for 6 months now.
Well, we don't need whiskey. What's your points on bourbon?
$2 less than what you're paying now.
You don't know what I'm paying now.
Oh, I do. Or I should. It is my business, after all. Most of your mash is coming from the Flint Hills and dirt farms out of western Kansas. You're, at best, getting some of that goose whiskey out of Canada that's overstocking Chicago 4 times a year at a ballooned rate. And gallons. And too many gallons of bathtub wine and gin.
Why are you here, Mr. Kelly?
I'm heavy burdened with too many trucks and not enough destinations. Kansas City, for all the best reasons, does not suffer the yoke of Puritan ideals, and the clubs are numerous. My understanding is Mr. Giovanni has the nuts and bolts to wave me through.
Mm-hmm. He does, and he might. Uh-huh. But he's got to look you in the eye before he gets into bed with you.
I can understand that.
Come by around 7 tonight. I'll introduce you to Mr. Giovanni.
I'll go check in and get cleaned up. I look forward to the meeting and some fine company. Mm-hmm. I didn't get your name.
This is Alice. She runs the joint, among other things.
And this is Mike, and the only thing he runs is his mouth.
Nice to make your acquaintance. May the rest of your day be sunshine.
What do you think?
You don't care what I think.
I like him.
You are drawn to all the right sort of people.
Speaking of familiar things, how did it go last night?
What do you want to know? It's done. I figure at least 100 of those cattle are never going to see market.
How'd Vincent do?
He did fine. Even in those shoes, he's got a quiet way about him.
Nobody saw you?
If they did, they didn't make any racket. Of course, half of them got their powder all wet when the Klan showed up.
Ooh. And the other half?
The other half thought it was the 4th of July. We were door to gate in 15 minutes.
So, Mr. Holliday is useful.
For poisoning cattle, I'd say yes. Can't speak to his other talents, but all the girls seem to like him and he doesn't drink.
Hmm. Well, I don't like to hear that.
Which part?
A man without a vice is a man with too many secrets.
He just got here. I'm sure he's got a lot of broken spokes. Give it time.
Well, look at you, making friends.
I wouldn't say that.
What are your onions on the Klan?
They're in town for some sort of national club meeting.
Club meeting, you say? Well, if they show up here, you serve them dishwater and boiled beer. If they stir up even one honeybee, you show them the street.
I feel a small tear of excitement coming on.
Let's leave emotion out of it.
Spring Springtime in Kansas City is a pleasant warning that summer is on the way. April and May are full of cool days and cooler nights, and the city itself seems to breathe deep and easy. But with every noonday sun comes the realization that the days are getting longer, and the coming heat stokes the short-tempered while it hampers the weak. However, Charlie Cox grew up in the swamps of Louisiana. She's used to the heat. She's also used to a myriad of poisonous and dangerous animals, and none more dangerous than people. Colonel Wesley has detailed her to the care of the Pritchett family. So, Tom escorts her to the main house.
So, you're from Louisiana?
Maurepas.
Is that a city?
It's a swamp.
You ever been to New Orleans?
Done been there too many times to remember.
I hear it's a good time.
Municipal, as good as any I know.
Right. Well, well, we can go through the front door. Most of the help comes through the back. Ma doesn't like boots in the house, so you can leave them on the porch, so there's a mud room around the side.
In no way am I taking off my boots and putting them back on every time I come and go out of this house.
Well, then you can sleep outside.
I done slept outside before now.
Great. The dog actually has a little house out back. I'm sure he won't mind sharing. Look, I don't care what you do, but you are not coming in this house wearing them boots.
Tom, what are you doing out there? Hey, now.
Amy, I want you to meet Charlie Cox. We were just out here talking.
Well, I saw you both coming up the walk. Oh, my, you're a woman. I mean, of course you are. I just thought, you know, from a distance, with you in the hat and the pants, I thought maybe Tom was bringing home one of his cowboy friends to have a drink, you know?
I wouldn't hate a drink.
Oh, you must have a drink. Come in.
Take off your boots, please.
Now, Tom, we do not talk to guests that way. Of course you can come in with your boots on. You come in, you have a drink. Tom, could you get us some drinks?
She is not a guest, Amy.
Well, I don't remember seeing her before, so she's a guest. Miss Cox, what can Tom get you? What can Tom get us? I'm drinking what you're drinking.
A whiskey, T. Tom.
A whiskey, yes, a whiskey indeed. Tom, we will be in the parlor.
Amy.
No fuss now, and you pour yourself one, Tommy.
Ice.
No, eyes. Who needs eyes? Am I right, Miss Cox?
Mm-mm, not me, Cher.
Easy now. Now, I have to know, how do you know Tommy?
I don't.
Well, of course you don't. Who really knows anybody, am I right?
If and you say so.
But he is good looking and strong and kind and very good looking. I understand why you like him. Now, what are you wearing? Why are you dressed like a cowboy? Are you a cowboy?
No, mon cher. I range for Colonel Wesley.
You range for Colonel Wesley? What does that mean?
I'm a ranger.
You're a ranger? What's a ranger? Tom, what's a ranger?
Well, for one thing, Miss Charlie Cox here is a ranger. A ranger's a hired gun that helps someone protect their property like cattle when they're moving it from place to place.
Like a cowboy?
No. No, cowboys are responsible for the cattle. Rangers move ahead, make sure of the way forward. They also shift through the night, killing predators. They're hired guns, girl.
Oh, well, that is exciting.
And Miss Cox here has been assigned to watch over you, your mother, and this house for the foreseeable future.
Like a bodyguard?
Yes, ma'am. Just like a bodyguard. In all truth, she is staying in the room next to mine.
Oh, not just a guest, but a house guest.
An employee.
Oh, nonsense. Employees don't stay on the second floor. Are you an employee, Tom?
I am.
You most certainly are not. Oh. Oh, whiskey always makes me giggle. Now, I always wanted a sister, Charlie Cox. Haven't I said that, Tom, that I've always wanted a sister?
I don't recall.
Oh, and why would you? Yes, indeed, a sister. I wanted Tom here to be a brother, but he got too attractive, and now I am in love with him.
Amy, please.
Well, if Mother knew, she'd hang him, so we keep our love a secret.
We are not in love.
One of us is. I promise.
Miss Amy?
Yes, sister?
I sure do like your house.
Huh.
May I see the rest of it?
Why, of course, Charlie. It would be my pleasure.
Privilege comes in many forms, and Kansas City is privy to most. The majority of that privilege comes from money and favors. The rest comes from some of the darker places in the human experience that we just refuse to recognize. But like we recognize a cat for its worth, we recognize the rat and the snake for their attributes. So when the Ku Klux Klan appears in Kansas City for their national convention, tensions rise. The same aldermen that allowed these rats into the city release the cats the very next day.
The reason we chose Kansas City for the convention was for its aggressive policies enacted over the last 3 years for individual rights. Not to mention its geographical location to encompass not just our brothers to the south, but also the large and silent majority to the north. Now, please make sure I am not being misquoted. The Klan is here to raise awareness. Not only that, we are here to celebrate our history in this great state. The true white history that has been swept under the rug since the failing of so many corrupted Yankee politicians. Missouri has always been tied to the peacekeeping Christian ideals of the Klan, and our presence here is a celebration of the Missouri statehood. It is our
hope. A moment of your time there, Senior Lizard King.
I'm in the middle of an interview here, sir.
Oh, I assure you, you're not.
Boys!
Well, hold the reins now. This is uncalled for. Leave that man alone.
Oh, you're mistaken, Lizard Man. That there is just a journalist. Barely human.
The title, sir, is Dragon. Grand Dragon.
Oh, did you hear that, lads? This here's a dragon. Grand Dragon, he says.
What is the meaning of this interruption, officer?
The name's Sullivan. And don't think of this as an interruption, more of a welcoming committee.
I was in the middle of an interview, Mr. Sullivan.
Captain Sullivan.
Forgive me, Captain Sullivan.
Oh, don't worry about that. They won't be running stories about your little social club in Kansas City.
All respect, Captain. We are the Klan, sir. We are not some social club.
We know exactly who you are, Mr. Evans, and what you are.
Well, then, you know we are not to be trifled with, sir.
Oh, the good officers of Kansas City do not trifle, sir, I assure you. For us to trifle would deem you worthy of respect, whereas we hold absolutely none for you, sir.
That's unfortunate. It was my understanding that the Kansas City police were well-schooled.
Well, we've never let our schooling interfere with our education. Police ordinance for you, sir.
What is this?
Well, we've been having trouble as of late with hooligans and property damage. This here is an ordinance forbidding people to gather in groups larger than 3.
We plan on marching this Friday.
Oh, then plan on spending Saturday and Sunday in jail.
Well, now, this is abhorrent.
Oh, abhorrent, you say? Like dragging a man through the streets or hanging children in trees? Maybe you're right.
What do you say, boys? Let's not fill up the cans this weekend. Do unto others and all. That is the Protestant way, isn't it?
I do not like being threatened, Captain.
Oh, well then let me threaten you. The rivers around Kansas City run fast and high this time of year. And if I hear word of even one of our citizens being harassed or harmed in any way, you'll find yourself navigating the waters with no arms or legs.
You do know how to paint a picture, Captain.
Me mother was an artist.
Anything else?
One more point of business. There's been a rash of violent robberies the past few weeks. Poor house mums held at gunpoint as they're stripped of their linen.
That's very strange.
Indeed. Those poor children having to sleep through the night uncovered. So, standing order, anyone carrying or perhaps wearing a bedsheet shall be shot on sight.
Captain, you are acting as if there will be no repercussions for these insane threats, sir.
Well, if there are, I'll take them right here on the chin. Enjoy your party. And welcome to Kansas City.
As the lawful and unlawful factions of Kansas City flex their muscle, something else is afoot. Vincent Esposito, now known as Vinnie Holiday, is actively trying to court the songbird, Rose. And as Rose deflects his advances, she eventually concedes because Vincent can get her something she wants.
Did you bring it?
I have it right here.
Give it to me, please.
You promised me a date.
This is the date.
How do I know you're not going to run out the door as soon as I give you this money?
You looked in the box.
I looked in the box.
I need that money.
You get it. I'm no thief.
And what are you, Vincent?
I'm just trying to make new friends.
Oh, you got a funny way of going about it. Can I have my money now?
What about dinner?
I'm not hungry.
Why are you so intent on brushing me off?
Why are you so hangnailed on keeping me company?
Well, there is something about you, Rose. You have me scratching at something.
Like a rash?
Not a rash. Reason.
Well, there is no reason for you to come scratching around me.
And why is that?
Dog scratch. I don't need a dog in my life.
Dog can be loyal.
They can be cute, too. But they have a tendency to shit everywhere.
Not if they're trained.
Is that what you are? Somebody's trained dog? What do you do for Mr. Giovanni, anyway?
I'm just here visiting, Rose.
And there it is. What makes you think I want to have anything to do with a man blowing in and out of town?
I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. I just want to get to know you.
What do you want to know?
Well, Mike says your father seems to be a big fish. What's that about?
Daddy was a feature writer for The Call. Now he writes about sports. He helped demonopolize the streetcars a couple of years ago. I'm sure that's what he's talking about.
He's a reporter.
Sports writer now. Tell me, what does your daddy do?
He's a butcher.
And you? What do you do, Vincent?
Well, I worked in banking for a while, but recently I've gotten into the insurance business.
You sure don't act like a banker.
I wasn't very good at it.
Is math difficult for you?
Let's just say a lot of people lost money.
So, you're not very trustworthy.
You can trust me.
Mm-hmm.
So, your pops works for a newspaper. What'd your mother do?
Lost her life to the Spanish lady 6 years ago.
Sorry to hear that. Lost an uncle and two cousins to the bitch as well.
So we have that in common.
I bet we have more in common than that.
Like what, I wonder?
Well, we both like music.
Give me my money.
Just give me a look, Rose.
I'm looking at you, Vincent.
Take your money, Rose. I would hate to think the only reason you're at this table is this little box.
Thank you.
Wow. You're really leaving.
Look, Vincent, I'm not for you.
People keep saying that.
Well, then, you ought to listen to them.
Hey, Rose.
Yes, Vincent.
I'm going to change your mind.
Maybe. But not today. Good night, Vincent.
As Rose walks away from the table, Vincent watches with a curious and longing eye. He slowly makes his way to the bar. His focus is somewhere far away. As the band begins to play, he settles into one of the stools. He glances back at the table and again to the door. With the slowest of breaths, he raises a finger to Mike.
I'll have that drink now.
The board is set. All the pieces are in play now. So what is to come for these intrepid souls, these men and women of heart, industry, and consequence? As the weekend comes to a close, the flappers languish on the laps of the gamblers, and the trains call through the crossroads like giant whales. Across from Union Station, a memorial is being erected for future generations to visit in remembrance of a more dangerous time. These days, however, feel like an overwound clock, a clock that is about to break. And as the city descends into late spring, the factions of the powers that be strengthen their resolve. A warm wind is in the air, and the music plays on. This is Kansas City, 1924.
Is this the budding of a new romance? Or something more complex, perhaps even ominous? We don't know for sure, and Forrest isn't telling. Best to stay tuned and find out. Things are starting to heat up. Featured in this week's episode were Victor Rader Wexler as the narrator, Justin McCoy as George, Walter Coppedge as Fitzy, Ellen Kirk as Alice, Scott Cordes as Big Mike, R.H. Wilhoit as George Kelly, Kyle Dick as Tom, Chioma Anyanwu as Charlie, Katie Hall as Amy Pritchett, David Fritz as Evans, Mike Ott as Police Captain James Sullivan, Bree Woods as Rose, and Matt Schwader as Vincent. The episode was directed by Victor Rader Wexler, sound design and engineering was by John Robertson, and it was written by Forrest Attaway. Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is made possible by support from donors like you, and our program sponsors, which include the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation, the Muriel McBrien Kaufman Foundation, the Richard J. Stern Foundation for the Arts, the Miller Nichols Charitable Foundation, Theater League, the Missouri Arts Council, and special thanks to Mark and Valerie Andrus. Of course, our exclusive sponsor for Kansas City 1924 is Tom's Town Distillery. Tom's Town Spirits don't just break the rules, they change the game. You can find their vodka, gin, and bourbon at your local liquor store. Tom's Town, the people are thirsty. I'm Cinnamon Schultz, and please stay healthy and stay tuned.